Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Thank you for joining us here tonight, and we're glad you're here with us. And just a reminder, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, midway between Akron and Cleveland. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you drop by. More information about that you can find at livewithpastoral.com. You can also find out more about me, about the program, all at livewithpastoral.com. You can link to some old program, past programs there. And if you're in an area where you don't hear our 10 o'clock hour, we also have them posted there as well. Not immediately, obviously, because I'm on the air doing this. So when it gets posted, it's because I post it. So that'll be sometime. I'm going to go home, go to bed. I don't think I'm going to be posting programs as soon as I get home. I've been up, had church services this morning, our morning services, our evening services, and now on the radio. And so when I get home, I'm ready to kind of rest up a little bit and take some time to get a little sleep. But at any rate, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we're glad to have you tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Mentioned in the last half hour, me in prayer there in Turkey, 7.8, the major earthquake in the south, I think it was toward the southeastern portion of Turkey, and felt down in Beirut, Lebanon, in Syria, or I'm sorry, Beirut, down Syria, Damascus, and down through that area there. A lot of damage, and of course, it's nighttime there. When the sun comes up, I'm sure more footage will be coming out showing the extent of the damage. They're searching for survivors, and so pray for the situation there in Turkey in that area. But again, a lot of things happening in the world around us today. But again, as I said, you can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy all ready to go tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program. Glad you're feeling better.
Oh, yes. I healed really quick from the illness that I had. Praise the Lord. Now, my question tonight, or my comment, is concerning the New World Order. And I just want to read one Bible verse that I think is the fate of the New World Order, but that's not my question. So, tell me if this is appropriate for the final fate of those in the New World Order. Those that are very evil and, you know, they're all for abortion, they're lying, they're leading us in the wrong direction. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Would you think that that would apply to the leaders of the New World Order?
Well,
now, that's not even my question.
Yeah, I was going to say absolutely it would, but it also, surprisingly, it applies to everyone without Christ. Leaders or not, because everyone without Christ is going to fall into one of these categories, or actually more. And I've had people say, well, you know, it's not like I'm a murderer or something like that. But if you notice, the last one that you read there is all liars. And as I like to point out,
then the unbelieving.
Yeah. And of course, in John chapter 3, verse 18, it tells us that ultimately what sends us to hell, the sin that sends us to hell, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus talking here in John chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And so really it's the sin of unbelief that sends people to hell, and then the other sins add to the degree of punishment in hell, if you look at it that way. But, you know, and that's where the unbelieving comes in. And anybody who does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, or does not believe that they need a Savior, well, they're certainly in the unbelieving, aren't they? And that certainly covers a lot. And that would be everyone from the world leaders that gathered at Davos for the World Economic Forum get-together, as well as just anybody, the average person that's not put their faith in Christ, they would be there in that.
Amen. Now my question tonight, do you think that our new Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy,
right,
is effectively sandbagging against the New World Order? Because I know you use that term, because, you know, such overwhelming evil that was all around us, but we're doing our best to sandbag. Now, how effective do you think that Kevin McCarthy is sandbagging?
And when we're talking about sandbagging, for our listeners, I've referred in the past about how the tide is coming against us, spiritually speaking. We know that looming on the horizon is a number of prophetic events, not the least of which is going to be the rise of the Antichrist, and then the beginning of the tribulation period and the final seven-year tribulation period, culminating in the Battle of Armageddon and the return of Christ to the world before setting up his millennial kingdom here on earth. And so we see these things that are coming. And during the millennial kingdom, of course, a global government will come into play, a global religious system will come into play, a global economic system will come into play. All these things that at Davos a couple of weeks ago, the world elites were gathered together discussing how to implement these things and making their plans. And this is being restrained by the Spirit of God working through his people, and so I've made the analogy, it's like the tide is coming in, and we're putting out sandbags, you know, around where we're at, trying to keep the water out. Eventually, it's going to be overwhelmed, and certainly that's where we think of the blessed hope that the Lord is going to call his children out of the world before these events begin to unfold on earth. But in the meanwhile, we're trying to protect and hold the waters back as much as we can. So there's where the term sandbagging comes in. I do believe, had it not been for the 20 Republican House members that opposed his election as Speaker of the House initially and held it up for several votes, a number of votes there in early January, it's because of them that Speaker McCarthy is doing some of the things that he is doing. Had they not stood up, had they just merely voted for him and allowed him to ascend to the speakership without any opposition without any pretense of holding his feet to the fire on some issues, I don't know that I can say honestly that he would be doing all of these things, but he is doing a few, you know, I mean, he is doing some of it that he promised, and so I do think that God is using him. Remember, God turns the hearts of rulers. He talked about kings and rulers in general. God can turn the hearts of people in positions of power and authority to accomplish his work. And we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the mystery of iniquity is working in the world right now, and it is being restrained, and I believe the restraining factor is the Spirit of God working through believers, and as God uses us, and we allow him to use us, he's able to restrain the mystery of iniquity, which I believe is the ultimate conspiracy, you know, the ultimate globalist movement. It's being orchestrated by the devil, and he's trying to bring everything into position so that he can bring the Antichrist to power. And I think God is currently, whether McCarthy realizes it or not, God is currently using Speaker McCarthy to help hinder these things, to help restrain these things until that time that the restraint will be taken away. I believe that's when the rapture of the believers takes place, and the Spirit of God currently ministering in the world as he is right now, that ministry will cease in that sense, and then the restraints will be off, and the mystery of iniquity will be able to manifest itself. In fact, Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, after verse 7, talking about the restraining of the mystery of iniquity, he says in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed," and that's talking about the revelation of the Antichrist, he signs the covenant, the treaty with Israel, the seven-year treaty, and the tribulation period begins, and then the seven-sealed book of Revelation, the seven trumpets and the seven bowls, the judgments and all that we see poured out, the wrath of God on the world that has rejected him. But I believe God is using Speaker McCarthy right now, and just as he used these 20 representatives to keep him from going too far to the left, he brought him more to the right through what they did. And so God is still working. He's still delaying and restraining the mystery of iniquity. It's not yet time for that wicked to be revealed. But when the time comes, that's when the sandbags aren't going to have effect anymore, because the tide will overwhelm. But we will be taken out of here, because as the Bible says, we're not appointed unto wrath. That seven-year period is a time, according to Daniel chapter 9, where God is going to wrap up his dealings with the Jewish people and bring them to a point where they will recognize Christ as their Messiah. And then comes the millennial reign of Christ, which is exciting to think about being a part of that, isn't it?
Amen. And, during the time of trying to pick a Speaker of the House, when these 20 Republican representatives were not, voting for McCarthy, I was very concerned, because it was such a close vote. I mean, the Democrats were at one point like 2-4 votes less, and I was really fearful. And I was personally angry at these 20 representatives, because I said, if they don't vote for him, then it is possible that the Democrats, could take charge of the House. I can't remember the name of that man.
Jeffers, I believe it was. Jeffries or Jeffers. And you had a very reasonable concern, because had they kept doing it forever and not been willing to work and to communicate and to, in a sense, deal and discuss, we could have had a situation in the U.S. House like we had here in the Ohio State House. Because all of the Democrats, I don't know that every single one of them, like in the Ohio State House, but the nearly all of the Democrats in the U.S. House were backing McCarthy's rival, Jeffers, they were backing him, and they had a number of Republicans that were with them, but not enough to overcome. I don't think they had too many Republicans. It wasn't enough to overcome the Republican vote. The Democrats, like in the Ohio House, did not have enough votes. And so they would have needed a number of Republicans to join them, and then they would have effectively controlled the House like they do in Columbus at the Ohio State House right now. We have a Republican supermajority, many of them conservative, but run by a Speaker that's essentially in the pocket and under the control of the Democrats. And I think we avoided that on the national seen to a degree. I'm certainly not expecting McCarthy to be perfect, but I think he's better than he would have been had these 20 not stood their ground and had enough wisdom to know when it was to concede and to support him, because we are seeing the fruit of that today. But as I said, ultimately, it was God working, because God is restraining the work of the mystery of iniquity that is currently working in our nation and in the world.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, thank you for explaining that so well. And you have a good night. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And Nancy, we're glad you're feeling, a lot of people have been praying for you, but glad you're feeling better.
Oh, well, I appreciate your prayers. And I'm sure that that was a big factor in me healing so quickly. But I did have some good medication. And normally I don't like to take prescription drugs, but in the condition I was in, I really had to take them, and they worked effectively along with the prayers. So thank you very much for praying for your church and my church. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate the call. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. We've got Terry calling in this evening. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening.
It's a nice evening tonight.
You know, I was thinking about that. I went to church today without having to put a heavy coat on, and here it is, you know, first Sunday in February. Generally speaking, here in northeastern Ohio, February, the last half of January, first half of February is the coldest part of the winter. And now we were cold Friday night. We got down to -2 at our house Friday night. Then thankfully it warmed up a bit on Saturday and even warmer today. So just my suit jacket is all I needed going out the door this morning and also to church tonight. I'm thankful I didn't have to be all bundled up, heavy coat, scarf, gloves, and everything. It's kind of nice here in northeastern Ohio to have a winter like this. I know you're a little further north on the other side of the lake up in Canada. How's it been up there?
It hasn't been too bad. We hardly had any snow, and that's unusual.
Yeah, we've had a lot of rain because we've had such a mild temperatures for the most part. We've had some severe cold snaps, but certainly not like our friends down in Florida.
they're as basket in the sun, I bet.
I used to, years ago when we were on in Florida previously, I had a guy who liked to call me in the wintertime. We would be at, 3 degrees or something like that. He would call and say, well, you know, we're struggling to get by. It's about 72 degrees here right now. Had to put a sweater on.
Does it cost a lot to be on the air in Florida? Or?
It costs a little bit more than being on here in Cleveland because it's a larger market. What happened, and some of our listeners are aware of this, last year we had somebody who gave a lump sum to us for the purpose of purchasing 1 year's worth of airtime in Florida. And I believe that, was it about April, May, I think, or so of last year, we went on the air again in Florida. And we are very thankful to be there. It works out well. A lot of people in Florida have connections in northeastern Ohio. And so we went on the air with a whole year paid in advance. So on the one hand, even though it's a little more expensive than the Cleveland market, it's not costing us anything because it's already paid for. Now, the question then becomes, and I would encourage people to pray about this, there is a distinct possibility. I don't know that it's 100% just yet. Probably in the next month or so, we'll find out. But there's a distinct possibility that we will have another year in Florida paid for up front in one lump sum. Now, that's not something that typically has happened to us in our ministry on the radio. When we were in Florida before, we went by kind of starts and stops. You know, we had a couple of different times where people provided some money that kept us on for like 6 months, and then another 6 months, and then another 6 months. And so we kind of went that way, and then no more money. We didn't have the money to be able to afford to keep us on the air, and so we had to let the Florida program go. But currently, right now, like I said, we have it the first year completely paid for, and I do want to encourage people to pray. We have the real possibility that we might have a second year paid for. Now, hopefully, the Lord will come back before the second year's over, and we won't have to worry about the next year. But whatever the case may be, I'm optimistic that we will have another year paid for right now. So, pray for us. We're hoping that that'll be the case. Now, that doesn't rule out the case that if there's somebody out there that has $1 million and you just don't know what to do with it, you know, we can certainly help you out. We could be on in Florida longer. We could be on in other markets. It's just that you know, we're probably one of the smallest churches with a radio ministry. We're not a very big church. We don't even have our own building. We just last year on April 1st, we just moved into a commercial space in a little building, 1,000 square foot, just over 1,000 square foot commercial space. Now, if you're thinking and calculating how many square feet does it take to have an auditorium, a restroom facility, a classroom facility, et cetera, some storage space. Clearly, we're not that big. I think our chairs, where we're set up, we have 40 some chairs, so we could probably get between 40 or 50 people in our auditorium if we push everybody in. But we're not that big. I mean, we're a small church. You know, a lot of times people say, well, a small church is a church, you know, 100 or more, or just under 100 people. Some people even say 150 is a small church. Well, that's considerably larger than we are. And when we started the radio program, I have to admit, when we first went on the air, which is, I'm trying to think, I think it's 17 and a half years ago, I believe when we first went on the air, and we've been on ever since, the only time that I have not been behind the microphone on a Sunday night was in 2021, January 2021, when I was hospitalized with COVID. That's the only time in about 17 and a half years I've not been behind this mic. So God has kept us going. But when we started, if we had a Sunday morning service with 20 people, we were having a big day. So I say that not to brag. Our guest in the last hour talked about God blessing the day of small things and all. But the reason I say that is to let people know that if God is with you, you can do things if you are willing. We talked about that. You have to have faith that God will do it and work through you, and then you have to have the willingness to actually do it. And when we went on the air for the first time, you know, we're looking at it thinking, well, where's the money going to come from? How are we going to be able to do this? And here 17 and a half years or so later, we're still on the air. We've got a total of 2.5 hours a week that we're on the air, and God's supplying the needs. And we give the glory to God, because were it up to us, we couldn't have done it. And thankful.
I never told you this before. Yeah, I never told you. Yeah, I was thinking about like I believe in supporting the church. Like we should support our local church.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I believe that, you know, I was thinking that today. You know, like, you know, even if a person gave $10 a week, you know, that's $40 a month. That's just one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's only $10. Like that's not a lot of money. But, you know, every little bit helps. That adds up, like 40 times 10 or whatever.
Right.
That, you know, it adds up. But I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, and that's where we appreciate prayer. And we're thankful. I mean, you know, we've been through ups and downs in the ministry, and we've tried various things. But over the years, kind of settled into the groove. You know, when we had to let go our Florida program a few years ago, we said, well, Lord, if you want us back on the air in Florida, you're going to have to take care of it. And we really didn't know how it was going to work out. And then to have somebody just say, here's a year in advance. I mean, what a blessing. That just doesn't typically happen. I have to wonder,
you know, how many people, you know, really listen in, you know? Like, I have to wonder about that.
Well, and, you know, we have people visit the church. They say that they listen. And then every July, here in Summit County, the county that we're in Ohio, the Summit County Fair, our church sponsors a booth there at the fair. And, you know, pretty much every year at the fair, I have several people come up to me and say, oh, we listen to you on the radio. So we know people are listening. Another way we know people are listening is we can look online at hits to our website. And, you know, we can see people visiting our church website, visiting our radio program website. And, you know, we get... on a typical Sunday, we get over 1,000 hits on our church website, and I'm trying to think what it is on the radio program website on a Sunday. I know right now, last time I looked, which was I think last Thursday or so, our radio program website was averaging somewhere close to 250 hits a day. And that seems like a large number, but I realize that could be one person, you know, visiting the site 250 times, or it could be 250 different people. So we know that sometimes it's one person visiting more than once, but it's a good gauge. And if we were looking at it saying, well, our visits were only averaging about 12 a day, I would be wondering, is anybody listening to the program? But when we can see,
I was often wondering about that, you know.
Yeah, so when we can see, 250 or so average hits a day, somebody must be listening or encountering us somewhere. And I don't have a sophisticated tracking program. It's just the website hosting service has a rudimentary thing that gives us some information on hits and bandwidth, you know, which gives an idea of downloads and what files they've downloaded, what programs they've downloaded, and things like that. But what it does allow us to do as well, certainly being on the radio, we have, as I said, at livewithpastoral.com, we have past radio programs that are available there, and so people later on can come and listen to them. You could go to livewithpastoral.com and follow the links. You could listen to a program from 10 years ago if you wanted to. I think we go back at least that far in terms of the ones we have archived. And who knows how many times they're being listened to. And I just hope that in some fashion, in some way, that the people who find our website and they find those programs, that God is directing them, and that maybe something on those programs, something that was said, something on the subject or something that was discussed, God can use to minister to them. So we are thankful for that. And that's a long-term thing. If we went off the radio today, people could still spend a long time just listening to our past programs that are parked online at our website at livewithpastoral.com.
That's what I did. I listened to quite a few of your past programs, your archives.
Well,
I listened to probably about 100 of them.
Yeah, so there's a lot there. I can't even begin to know everything that we covered over the years. But
I got a question to ask you, though.
Yes, sir.
But it's in James. But before I ask it, mention that, I was going to say that I've been encouraged by your program, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that.
You've been a blessing to me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I have to say that being on the radio has been a blessing to me, an encouragement to me. A lot of people don't really realize this. And when we get callers, I know a lot of people don't call. They like to listen, and we appreciate that you're there and you're praying for us. I think I just heard some music start. I guess we're coming up on the break. Just kind of caught me off guard there. startled me. But what I was going to say is that it's an encouragement to me, because there's been times where we had difficulties at our church, and the radio really kind of encouraged me that God was still using us. But stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll be able to find out more information about me, about the program, and about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can also listen to past programs there. There's a number of articles and such that you can read at livewithpastoral.com, and some other comments and materials that are available there. Let me encourage you to check us out, livewithpastoral.com. I was talking with Terry, and he's calling from Canada, and we were talking about the program there a little bit and some of the background on it, and the break kind of caught up on me there after over 17 years of doing it. Still catches me every once in a while, and I just heard the music kind of almost startled me a little bit there. I didn't realize we were that close to the bottom of the hour break, but we'll be with you until midnight here tonight. Hope you'll stick with us. And I was making the point that being on the radio has been an encouragement to me. As I said, we're a very small church, and when we started this radio program, if we had 20 people, that's counting myself and my wife, it's counting our family, if we had 20 people in attendance on a Sunday morning, That was a big day for us. And we're still not hugely bigger than that. Thankfully, we're a little bit bigger now. And it's not unheard of for us to hit 30 people now on a Sunday morning. But we're still a very small church. But there's been times over the last, 17 plus years or so just difficulties and getting tired and overwhelmed sometimes with the struggles of a small church. And if there's anybody out there listening that's ever pastored a small church, and I say that because there are pastors that have struggled and they've worked and just become overwhelmed. And I don't discredit anybody that's been through that situation because I know what the struggles are like when you're just struggling to pay the bills. I remember when I first started out, I was a missionary and came back from the Samoan Islands, and the pastor of our supporting church resigned, and the church was on hard times. In fact, the last couple of years that we were in Samoa, we weren't even getting support from our own home church. I'm not saying that to disparage them. I'm just showing the condition that it was in, and God called for us to stay. Our pastor resigned, turned the church over to me, and there for a while, if we were in the double digits, I'm talking about if we reached 10 people on a Sunday morning, it was a blessing. There were times where, my wife and I and daughter outnumbered the people who were in attendance. And I can remember meeting with an older seasoned pastor in the area, and he was offering some advice and some, just wanted to know how we were doing and everything. And he said, "What kind of offerings do you have?" And we were talking about that, and said, "Is the church able to help you out a little bit?" And I said, "Well, you know, in a good month, if things are going well, I might get $50, $100 or something." He said, "Well, small church like that, $50, $100 a week's not too bad." And I said, "No, I'm talking about a month, in terms of what I would get out of it." So obviously I haven't been in it for the money. Let me quickly clue you in. If you want to make money, if you're going in the ministry to make money, don't become an independent fundamental Baptist, a pastoring or trying to build a small church. That's not where the money is, if your whole object is to make money, go for one of the modernist denominations that love to spend money on people. But if you want to serve God though, and lay up treasures in heaven, get involved in a good independent Baptist church that can use your talents and abilities for the Lord. But getting back to it, I was going to say, when we started out, there were times where, and I understand the struggles. I understand the temptation to throw in the towel and to move on or even leave the ministry. And I understand the difficulties of wondering, does anybody care? And sometimes even saying, does God even care? I know because I've been there. And yet God raised up the opportunity to be on the radio. And there were times, and we're talking with Terry and Ken, as I said, there are times, Terry, we're talking about us being a blessing or the program being a blessing to him. There were times that I knew that by coming on the radio on Sunday night, that I'd have the opportunity to talk to somebody and to be able to share things out of God's word and to feel like I was making a difference, even at times where in our church that I was pastoring, because of the difficulties and the small numbers, and I'm just being honest, because of the small numbers, I would sometimes feel like, am I making a difference? Would anybody even know if we closed up shop and left? And then, I would go to the radio on Sunday night, and more often than not, somebody would be a blessing to me. And we've had some people, one dear lady who's with the Lord right now, she had a knack of calling in on nights when I was just felt like that was it. I can't go on another week. And she would call in with something that just would encourage me. And so I've taken a lot of encouragement from people on the radio, and the opportunity has been such a blessing. I believe that I am still the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church here 25 plus years later because of this radio program and because of the listeners and the callers who have encouraged me. And so, Terry, I thank you for saying I've been an encouragement to you, but you and others are a tremendous encouragement to me. And the callers and listeners over the years are the reason that our church is still in Richfield, still proclaiming the gospel, still open for services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer, Friday night Bible study, and also still on the radio Friday afternoon, Sunday nights. And so I've got to thank you and all of our listeners and callers over the years. So just kind of got on a little soapbox there, but I just want people to know how much I appreciate.
I hope that when I call in, that I'm an encouragement to people. I think about that quite a bit.
Yes.
And that's my reasoning. That's one of my reasons for calling in.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, this is what we're supposed to do. And a lot of it, too, I've learned a lot over the years doing the radio program. In fact, when I started the radio program, when I was first looking at it, I remember asking another preacher in the area, His concern was, well, what if somebody asks you something you don't know the answer? And I said, well, maybe I'll have to look into the Bible and try and figure it out.
I think you said that when you first started the whole thing, eh?
Yeah, and so in fact, I even had pastors that kind of preachers that kind of tried to dissuade me from the idea of being on the radio. Ah, you're a small church, you know. Who's going to listen late night on Sunday nights? And what's going to become of that? And it's a lot of money, and nobody's going to listen. Nobody's going to call. And 17 plus years later, here we're still going strong. And I appreciate what God's given us the opportunity to do, and our callers and our listeners that have really helped make it worthwhile.
I got to admit that when I first called in, I had a lot of confusion about stuff, you know. And through this program, it's helped me a lot to understand things more clearly. But I also search things out too. I just don't, you know, sit idle.
Yes.
I search the scriptures, and I don't take everything that even you say.
Well, and you shouldn't,
I look things up. I research things out to make sure that what's being said to me is God's word.
Well, and I sometimes have to second guess myself, because over the years there's been some things that I've looked at that I just sort of took for granted, And this has been one of the benefits of doing the radio program. Somebody will ask me a question, and it forces me to consider my position and why do I have that position? Why do I believe what I believe? What is the reason? There's been some cases where I've had to actually look closely and come to a conclusion, I need to change my idea to make it line up with the scripture. I've misinterpreted something in the scripture, and as a consequence, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, doesn't it?
Yes.
And so that's what I hope is happening. I'm encouraging people and helping people understand the Word of God, but you're also encouraging me and helping me in my understanding of the Word of God as well.
Well, praise the Lord. All glory to God.
Amen to that. That's exactly it. And that's who gets the glory, because it's God's doing.
And speak about a question I had, a subject I was going to bring up, was James chapter 2.
Uh-huh.
And, people talk about, faith a lot and works. Mm-hmm. Mention works a lot. And I call this the faith works chapter. Because, works is just as important as faith.
Right,
That we have not faith and not works, I read something, I look things up on the internet, too,
mm-hmm.
and there was one thing here, hopefully I can get it, here it is. It says that the person without words cannot show or prove his faith in Christ. So if people can't see that we're doing something for Christ, then why would they want to serve our want anything to do with our God.
Right, right. And in fact, here in James chapter 2, where you're referring, starting verse 17, says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Verse 18, then he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And so when we're talking about this, the idea, and it's not that we need the works in order to be saved. And what I like to remind people is we work because we are saved. If when I was studying biology, and I you know, like I said, I like biology. I studied it, and I can remember in high school, in Revere High School, sitting there in my history class, bored with history, which later after school I've developed quite a desire to learn history, but I didn't want to study history at the time, and I had a book in my history book where we were supposed to be reading our history book in class. I remember my teacher coming up, sure that I had a comic book or something there, and she didn't know what to make of it, because when she demanded to see the book that I had hidden in my history book, it was a book on it was either zoology or botany. I think it was botany. And she was kind of surprised that there I am reading a botany book, a botany textbook in history class in high school. And so she didn't quite know what to make of it. it's kind of humorous when I look back on it. But one of the things that you learn in biology is this. If something is alive, there'll be evidence of it. And here's my point with this. If something is alive, there's evidence of it. If you see an organism laying there and you're wondering if it's alive, you can watch it. And you'll see things happening. You might be able to see evidence of respiration taking place. You might see evidence of movement taking place. You might see evidence of it trying to eat something or take in something, to where it tries to absorb some type of food or something. You might see some form of reproductive activity. Some organisms, of course, simply divide and they reproduce asexually. And there are just many types of things, but you'll see evidence, and that evidence, it's works that show evidence of the life that's in that organism. If you see something that's there and it never shows any evidence of life, no works of any kind, no respiration, no food consumption or energy consumption of any kind, no reproductive activity of any kind, there's nothing at all, we say it's dead. There's no life in it. And that's in the book of James, in particular chapter 2. This is what the Bible is getting at. If you claim to be saved, if you claim that you're born again, and that you're a child of God, well, then there ought to be some evidence of it, right? There ought to be works. After all, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said that we are saved by faith. It's not the works that save us. By faith we're saved, he said. Let me just turn over there a second. Give me a moment here. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is not a contradiction of James when he says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. It's not something that's contradicting James. James is not contradicting Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. The key in Ephesians chapter 2, after he says, not of works, lest any man should boast, he says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If we are alive in Christ, we will do good works, not to become alive in Christ, but because we are alive in Christ. Just like an organism that is alive will do things because it's alive, not in order to become alive. And things in nature, things in the physical world, echo and illustrate things in the spiritual realm. And so the evidence of life, you know, it's going to be spring here not too long. And people are going to plant gardens. The seeds are already being sold in the stores. I was in the store yesterday, or Friday, and they had racks out with discount seeds already. And talking with somebody recently about starting seeds, you know, to get ready for the garden. And you take a seed which looks lifeless, right? And you put it in the soil, put a little water on it, and what happens?
It grows.
Yeah, we see evidence of life. If the seed never sprouts, you would say, well, the seed, it must not have been alive. It must be too old. It's died. There's no life left in it. But because
I believe the water is the word of God too.
Exactly. And so we grow and we do things and we do good works that glorify God and give testimony to the spiritual life that's in us. But we do those works because we're saved. And if somebody truly is saved, they're going to do something. You might not see it right away. You might look a little dormant like that seed. But when you read the Word of God, like you said, the water of the Word, and it starts to water your heart, you'll begin to do something.
Isn't there 20, 30, 60, and 100 or something like that? Or
yeah, talking about the bringing forth fruit and all.
The increase?
Yeah. And that was the spring of the seed there. But, hey, Terry, I've got another caller that we want to sneak in here before the end of the program, and I just realized I don't get caught like I did the last half hour. But thank you for that question about faith and works. It really is important. If you have faith, and it's a living faith, and you are spiritually alive in Christ, you will do good works because you're alive, not in order to become alive. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Cheryl calling in tonight. Cheryl, welcome to the program this evening.
Yes, thank you. It's great to be talking with you again today. This is the third time.
Thank you.
anyway, Sunday school and church tonight were all great. And I'll comment on that just because of what you've been saying along the line here is that you know, there are so many different kinds of churches, and I really like our small church. It's a real family atmosphere, and you know, like people say, well, you all attend the same service. Yep, we all attend the same public Bible. Yep, we all attend the same Bible study. Well, how about this? Yep, we all attend that together. And I think I was looking for a church of like-minded. And it's totally based on the Word of God and, you know, immersing ourselves in the culture to represent Jesus well in this world. So I would say, as a note of encouragement, that you have done a masterful job of pulling that together in all of our different, I guess, multi-ministries, I guess you could say, the Sunday school, the Bible study, the prayer meeting, the radio shows, and Friday and Sunday and all that kind of stuff. So in my few minutes that I have here, I do have a question.
Yes.
And that is in the, you know, what Jesus was saying from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is whether that has anything to do with salvation, which I'm thinking it doesn't, but Father, forgive them. The exact, in other words, that doesn't seem to have an eternal consequence, or does it, when he's asking God the Father to forgive them?
Well, I don't think this is in the matter of salvation, because when we understand where they're at and what they're doing, a lot of them did not understand the ramifications of what they're doing. And I think that's what he's getting at. Earlier caller, we were talking about in Revelation 21:8 about the different types of sin and how the sin of unbelief that Jesus brought out in John 3:18 that we're condemned already because we've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so when we look at this, the other sins add to the degree of punishment. And a lot of people, or well, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but a number of the people who were there at the crucifixion, the Roman soldiers, for instance, that whipped Christ and jammed the crown of thorns on his head and then crucified him, they did not realize what they were doing. Now, some of the Jewish leaders did know what was going on, and it even affected Judas when he realized the part that he was playing. But these Roman soldiers, for instance, that were crucifying him, they did not know that they were putting on the cross God the Son. They did not know that they were putting their Creator on the cross. They didn't understand what they were doing. And I think part of what's going on there is that these men, he did not want that held against them that they put to death the Messiah. We would think that must be a grievous sin. It's bad enough, the other sins that we commit, but to actually be complicit in the killing of the Messiah, of God's Son. So there were a number of things that took place that were really illegalities in regards to the crucifixion of Christ that others were guilty of. And some of them, I think, may have realized that he was the Christ, but they didn't want him. They chose to reject him. And certainly the devil was motivating many of them. But the Roman soldiers and the ones that were there when they were crucifying him to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think what he was saying is, don't hold this against these men. They don't understand that they are basically pawns in a spiritual battle. And this is necessary. Of course, Christ came into the world to die on the cross, so that he could purchase our salvation with his own blood. And so he didn't want that particular sin laid to their account. Should they die without Christ, they had plenty of other things to be accountable for, but they shouldn't be held accountable for this one because they did not know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear the music playing back there, but hopefully that helps you a little bit there.
And even in our world today, just about so many things about people are doing things and they
do not know what they're doing. Hey, Cheryl, we're into the last 10 seconds there, but thanks for callers. Thanks for listeners. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.